It was in a dingy basement on the Lower East Side of New York City in 1934 when one of the largest and the most successful attempts at a wide-scale habit change was born. Sitting in the basement was a 39-year-old man with an alcohol addiction, and his name was Bill Wilson. Years earlier, Wilson had taken his first drink during officers' training camp in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where he was learning to fire machine guns without getting shipped to France, before getting shipped to France in World War I. And later in an officers' club, he took a sip of a Bronx cocktail and felt as if he'd found the elixir of life. By the mid-1930s, back from Europe, his marriage falling apart and a fortune from selling stocks vaporized, Wilson was consuming 3 bottles of alcohol a day. On a cold November afternoon, while he was sitting in the gloom, an old drinking buddy called. Wilson invited his old drinking buddy over, and he mixed a pitcher of pineapple juice and gin. He poured his friend a glass, but his friend handed it back. He'd been sober for 2 months. Wilson was astonished and asked how his friend had done it. "I've got religion," the friend said. He talked about hell and temptation, sin and the devil. "Realize you are licked, admit it, and get willing to turn your life over to God." Wilson thought the guy was nuts. When his friend left, Wilson polished off the pineapple juice and the gin and he went to bed. But a month later, Wilson checked into the Charles B. Towns Hospital for drug and alcohol addictions. And a physician started hourly infusions of a hallucinogenic drug called Belladonna. It was a popular drug treatment in the early 1930s, and Wilson began writhing in agony. For days, he hallucinated. The withdrawal pains made him feel as if insects were crawling across his skin. He was so nauseous he could hardly move, but the pain was too intense to stay still. "If there is a God, let him show himself," Wilson yelled into the empty room. "I am ready to do anything. Anything." At that moment, he later wrote, a white light filled his room and the pain ceased, and he felt as if he were on a mountaintop and that a wind not of air but of spirit was blowing. Bill Wilson would never have another drink. For the next 36 years, until he died of emphysema in 1971, he would devote himself to founding and building and spreading a recovery program called Alcoholics Anonymous. Today, AA is the most well-known and successful habit-changing organization in the world. But because of the program's lack of scientific background, academics and researchers have criticized it. According to these academics, AA's emphasis on spirituality made it more like a cult than a treatment. However, in the past 15 years, a reevaluation has come about. Researchers now say that the program's methods offer valuable lessons. Faculty at Harvard, Yale, University of Chicago, University of New Mexico, and dozens of other research centers have found a kind of science within Alcoholics Anonymous. Today we're finishing our sermon series based upon the book, The Power of Habit. I'll show you a copy of it. Some people have asked. It's called The Power of Habit: Why We Do What We Do in Life and in Business. It's by Charles Duhigg, Duhigg. And as I've said, we're hitting the highlights of the first part of this book. The second part of the book is how to apply these habit techniques to your business and to your life. But the layout of the groundwork of habits we've been going through for the last 5 weeks. We've talked about how we should follow the habit loop. And if we can have the habit loop up there, I'll show it to you. That there is a thing called a habit loop, and once you get into this loop, it is very, very hard to get out of this loop. You can create new loops, but it's hard to change old loops, that there's a cue and that there's a routine based upon that cue and there's a reward. And we've talked about the power, the habit of prayer, the habit of worship. We've also talked about the habit of Bible study. Last week it was the habit of giving, and today we're going to talk about the habit of serving. If you look at this routine, what Alcoholics Anonymous has found out is something very, very fascinating and something that applies to the habit loop. You see, it is almost impossible to get rid of a habit loop once it is deeply entrenched in your life. The thrill of the reward, the link between cue and routine and reward, and then it goes back again, can be so powerful, that it can be almost impossible to get rid of. So what do you do if you got a habit loop in your life that needs to change? And see, what Alcoholics Anonymous, in their research in steps 4 and 5, they actually found out what the solution is. Because in steps 4 and 5 of their 12-step program, they say this, that you need to deeply examine your own life and find out what is causing the cue in your life. And you need to rely on God to help you with this. You see, the way that you get rid of a habit loop, or the way that you can transform a habit loop in your life, is to find out what your cue is that causes your routine and your reward, and analyze yourself, analyze the cue, and what you do is when that cue happens in your life, you find a different routine to replace the old routine, which produces a reward which very well may be different from the reward that you got from the old habit. If you talk to anybody that is addicted to alcohol or drugs or anything that we can be addicted to, a lot of times they don't even like the reward. The pain, the suffering, the things that happen, but that link between cue and routine is so powerful that they just do it almost sometimes without thinking. What you can do if you have a routine, if you have a habit, a loop in your life that needs change, is to find out what the cue was that started the routine and replace the routine when you feel the cue in your life. Now, you've seen this, I'm sure, people who are smokers. And one of the ways that you can stop smoking is that every time you feel that urge, whatever it is, and you have to examine your life and to figure out what it is, the urge to smoke. For me, it's my children. You didn't know I smoked. I don't, no. You find out what the cue is, and then you replace the routine. How many people do you know that are smokers, and when they feel that urge, they're trying to get rid of smoking, when they feel that urge, they reach into their pocket and they pull out nicotine gum, right? And they chew the gum, and that's basically trying to get a different routine from the same cue. And if you do that, and if you rely on the power of God and His belief that He can transform your life, He will come in and help you with these things in your life that need to be changed. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world does this have to do with service? And the reason is this. If you look at the habit loop in our lives, a lot of times the stuff that we do in our life is because we unconsciously think and do things based upon the habit loop without even thinking that we do it. How many of us do the same thing over and over and over again, and we don't even realize that we've gotten into a routine or a loop? How many of you spend hours on a computer looking at Facebook or, I'm guilty of that one. I'm sorry. All right. But how many of you spend hours on the computer? How many spend hours on television? How many of you spend hours doing things and you don't even think about it? If you examine your life and take a look at it, you can take some of those routines that you do almost instinctively and replace them with other things that glorify and benefit the kingdom of God. It's that simple. And all you have to do is to look in your life, figure out what the cue is, and when that cue happens, make a conscious effort to not do the old habit, but do the new habit. I was doing some research, and the number of hours that we watch of television a week is absolutely astronomical. The number of hours we play on the computer playing games is astronomical. The number of hours you spend on the computer doing mindless things is astronomical. What would happen? What would happen if we all evaluated our life and said, you know what, instead of doing those things habitually, after the end of 25 or 30 years of doing this thing, what would happen if when that cue happens, I put in a different routine? Let me tell you, the reward for service is one of the greatest rewards you will ever have, because you will be serving your Lord God Almighty and doing things that benefit His kingdom. You'll be doing it with other Christians, and the joy that you will feel from that, I guarantee you, will be more joy than you will feel doing anything else. I want to go to our epistle lesson this morning, 1 Peter 4. Chapter 11, 1 Peter 4, chapter 11, where he says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, when I was preparing the sermon series, and I was talking about service, I put it as the last, and you know how, let's just go and serve God. And then as I was preparing for the sermon this week, I realized that as a mission congregation over the last 5 years, many of you have no problem serving God. We could not be here where we are today if it wasn't for the incredible, faithless, tireless, long-hour service of so many people. If you came here at 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning, you'd see people setting up the chairs, you'd see people getting ready for the brunch, you'd see people sweeping the floors, you'd see people doing all sorts. There were balloons. There still are balloons. There's a balloon up there. There were people straightening up this place to get it ready for worship. And because we worship here in a rented facility, because of the way that our church is right now, a number of you spend a lot of time in service of God. But Peter talks to you also. If you look up at the previous verse, which is verse 10, he says, each one of you should use whatever gift he receives to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its forms. The previous verse, verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In my life, I have served God at many different congregations, and I can tell you that this convicts me, because sometimes I'm the only one that's doing anything around here. Nobody. And I grumble. For those of you who serve, if your heart is in the right place, if you know that you are not serving anybody else but Jesus Christ, and if you keep from grumbling, He will keep your heart in a heart of joy for service. And I know sometimes it can get difficult. I know sometimes for some of you, you put in so many hours. I am so grateful. God's kingdom is blessed because of that. But understand that it is serving Him, and that someday you will see Him and He will thank you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Do it without grumbling. But there are many else people in our congregation who have not had yet the joy to serve God. That you've filled your life with so many different habit cues that you've never stopped to think about how you can serve God, how you can change some old habits and put some new habits in place. And my conviction to you is to spend some time this week to look at this habit loop, try to find the things that you spend time doing, and say to yourself, are there some routines that I do that are mindless, meaningless, don't really impact the kingdom of God? And is there one point in my week where I could spend some time doing something for the kingdom of God? And if everyone in this church, if everyone in the Christian church would simply do that, we'd have so much time for service that the world would be transformed. the world would be transformed. God has placed this congregation, Christ Lutheran Vale, here in this community. And I don't know exactly what God has in store for us, but I do know that He has a lot of things in store for us. That this community in 50 years will be so blessed because of the work that we will do between now and then. If there are people in the Vale community that suffer from the loss of loved ones, we could shower them with our love, be there for them, give them food, give them meals, give them the love of Jesus Christ. We can do that. If there is somebody in the Vale community that is suffering financially because their life has fallen apart, maybe they've lost their job, maybe they don't know where to turn to, they could know that Christ Lutheran Vale stands beside them. We could go out to them, find these people, wrap them with love, and show them that Jesus Christ still loves them in the midst of all this turmoil. We can do that. If there is a child that is born in the Vale community to any family, and they need to know the love of Jesus Christ, they could know that Christ Lutheran Vale is a place where they could go and safely bring their children to learn about the love of Jesus Christ, and we would shower those people with love. We can do that. For the whole community of Vale, do you know that only 35% of Vale goes to church on a Sunday morning? If you look at the demographics, that's the statistic. That means that 65% of the people in this world do not know, or in our own community, do not know the love of their Savior. That there's a God that loves them, that no matter what they struggle with in life, that God can walk beside them and be with them. And this church can share that message with them. We can do that. This last week, I went to a funeral and the family came together and it was a beautiful thing, but there are a lot of people in this community where people die all the time and they die alone and nobody cares. We can solve that. We can be there with them for that. There is no greater joy in this world than serving God in the community. For lost and hurting people, the church is the only answer. God has given you time in this world. And the only reason He's given you that time is to show you can serve Him and make a difference for Him and love people in this community for Him. I'm sorry I get so emotional about this, but I look at this congregation and I see so much good. And I am so grateful to serve here. And I just wish I could be here in 50 years to see what this community is going to do. Someday, each of you will die, and you'll go up to heaven, and you will meet people, and they will come up to you and say, I am only here because of what you did when you lived on this earth. My friends, don't let this opportunity pass you by. You are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. This has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with following Him, because we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen.